Hey, everybody. Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess. Just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May. And you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com. Then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in, do go on the quiz show, and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
On. You're here with me, Dave Warnocky, and I'm here with Matt Stewart, and he is here with Jess Perkins.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm here with you, and you're with you with me.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I belong with you, you belong with me. Something.
My sweetheart.
Guys, how are you?
All right. This week's topic. let's do chit-chat.
Hey, what number?
I'll have a quick nap.
What number episode is this?
Oh my God, I totally forgot. It is episode, not 67. Not 68. Next week's going to be 70, so that means this week is episode 69.
Yes. Okay.
Someone tweeted in that they are hoping that we'll, before their episode 69, do hashtag keen for peen and hashtag keen for vagine. You don't
yep.
like that?
No, I don't just like that. I mean, it's better than other options.
I wanted to pitch
you
it
like
to you.
You like peen but not vagine, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's okay, nice. Well, that's good. Sexist.
Let's all go around and
I'm
state
sexist.
Which we prefer
no, that's
to
not...
have.
What? As a topic. Know.
As a topic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did not like how this has started. Dave, you're being very silly. I know you're excited about 69.
I know I am.
It's okay.
I think every week I'm just amazed. I'm like, we're doing it. We haven't missed another week. It's amazing.
We're doing 69.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're doing it.
Big time.
Contractually obligated.
Oh, that takes the fun out of it a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. Oh, my God. No fun with a contract.
69 is dinner for two, but there's three of us.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Well,
I've only heard that recently. You heard that?
I'll skip the
meal. Tommy Dassler's calling his comedy festival show dinner for two.
Oh, that's good.
Which means 69. Would you not have got that?
I didn't get it until it was explained.
Okay.
It just sounds like two people going out for dinner.
Dinner for two. So that's why it works on a few different levels.
Two. Dinner for two levels.
What a topic.
Yeah, so what would you... you don't know what the topic is, obviously, Dave, but pretty sexy topics were put up to the vote.
That's right, because Matt's topics are always voted on via our Patreon. Every subscriber gets to vote on your topics, Matt.
Yes. To be honest, I did not put 2 seconds of thought into it being a 69 episode. It doesn't excite me as much as it does Dave. As you know, it's a very funny number, like you always say. I agree. 69. But I hadn't really thought about that.
There's
one.
There's only one number that's funnier than 69, and that is 2469.
2469.
2469 is the boring way to say it. But if you want to get down to business, if you want to have dinner for 2469.
That's funnier. No, I see that.
That is funny. Actually, restaurants should put that up, like, as a special, 2 for $69. but also...
That's in a slightly little small bracket. And also they're making $69.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We could chat to some of our local eateries.
Yeah, there's a few eateries around. We could go and pitch it.
But I'd like to sell that idea. I want money.
Yeah. We'll sell it.
Much would we sell it for?
69.
There we go.
Just cents. I reckon we'd sell it for dinner for two.
Oh, they gave us a voucher. I mean,
well, really, if the three of us went out for dinner, it'd be dinner for two and Dave.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have half an entree, please.
He's a little man.
I am. I can't eat. I haven't eaten.
Ever?
Never.
I've never seen you eat. I've seen you sit with food in front of you.
I've seen you like eat like a pelican or a seagull, which is like...
Yeah, I did dive.
Have you seen that?
I did dive bomb you at the beach. You were eating fish and chips. I was there.
That was weird. You could have just come up and said hello like a normal person who runs into a friend at the beach, but okay.
I decided to dive bomb you and steal your chips.
It was kind of funny. But like, do you know that guy? I'm like, yeah, it's Dave. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a pretty funny prank then, because if you didn't know that guy, it would have been arrested.
And he gave me Panadol and my head exploded.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It was very weird.
Yeah.
Weird for a man to steal chips who can't even eat them.
He just doesn't want other people to.
Exactly. If you can't have them, I can't.
Nope. That's... Other way. If I can't have them, you can't.
No, if you can't have them, I can't.
Okay.
That's the deal. I say to someone, we go out for dinner. You're allergic to nuts? I can't have them.
Oh, that's nice.
Out of sympathy.
That's nice.
For them.
Yeah, good for you.
Sympathy. That's a bit patronising, but...
Matt, for example, is there something you don't eat?
No, I'll eat everything.
How about parsnip?
Meat.
Yeah.
All right, I don't eat parsnip, I don't eat meat, but apart from that...
Great, well, you can't have it, I can't have it.
That's nice.
It's the deal.
So you don't eat meat or parsnips now?
Never.
Oh, thanks, Dave. So everyone in the world...
It's not just when...
the time. That's why I'm sort of stuck in this...
Oh!
I'm like the modern Mother Teresa, but I'm starving to death because I've sort of painted myself into a corner.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I wonder if there's anything that everyone eats.
Chips. That's why I stole my chips.
That's why you eat chips. Okay, got it.
God, imagine not being able to eat chips. Fuck that.
Oh my God.
Fuck it.
Fuck that.
Nah, genuinely fuck it up. Fuck it right off. Right.
Well, if you can't, I can't.
Hey, last week I was on The Weekly Planet. I'm doing plugs for podcasts I've been on. People should listen to it. Weekly Planet last week. We talked about lots of superhero geek culture stuff and some of our favorite universes.
Oh.
And crossovers. I love crossovers.
Mm. How did you go? Did you
talk about it? Sorry, just because it was a crossover between this podcast universe and their podcast universe.
You mentioned that as well, yes.
Very cool. Sorry, Jess. Please go
did
on.
You think you kept up with... Because they're very intelligent.
Oh, they're very intelligent. Look, I was treading water for a lot of it.
That's okay.
But they were being very gentle on me. I think they were well aware that I was a noob.
That's good.
Well, that's very, very cool. And we have some exciting news relating to the Weekly Planet. And the boys over there, we have joined their podcast network.
We're in a network.
Yes.
Ooh.
It's called Planet Broadcasting, and it also features...
The Filthy Casuals.
Filthy Casuals, Two in the Think Tank, which is recorded in this here studio, which I've been on a couple of times, if you want to look that up. Funny stuff.
Good stuff. Days. Good stuff.
And also...
The Weekly Planet,
obviously. No, it's really cool. Yeah. I did tweet about it a couple of weeks ago. And someone asked the question, or maybe on Instagram, I said, so what does that mean? And I didn't reply because I'm not fully sure.
I think it means we're part of a gang.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're in a gang now.
We bash other podcasts.
Yeah.
Watch out,
Green Guard Letters!
Which is another podcast.
Another podcast, sorry.
Obviously.
It's a great podcast. So almost didn't need
explanation. But it sounded like...
It did. Please explanation.
Well... Hey, I've got a question for you guys to kick off our topic this week.
Interesting. Okay.
Great.
And it's just a straight up normally my questions are bullshit.
Uh-huh.
This one's just a question and you have a good chance of knowing. I reckon Dave probably definitely knows and I reckon Jess probably definitely knows.
Great.
But the answer is the topic. Look, I don't know if you definitely know, but I didn't want to sound like an arsehole just because Dave knows everything.
Thanks for explanation that.
Okay. Question is, who was the first American presidential assassin?
Oh!
Is that Mr. John Wilkes Booth?
It is.
Very good.
Jess, what's your guess?
John Wilkes Booth?
John Wilkes Booth.
Sorry, Jess.
Boob. John Wilkes... Was it John Wilkes
Booth? Quite a buxom assassin who assassinated him with his large fake breasts.
Yes, so you know the story, almost not worth telling?
No, I only know the bare minimum, which is John Wilkes Booth, Ford Theatre, Abraham Lincoln. Is that about it?
That's pretty good. Jess, what do you know?
Top hat.
Yes.
Beard.
Sweet chin strap.
Didn't see the
I watched a couple of documentaries about it, and, you know, I think of it like Lincoln was one out with the chin strap. There's a lot of characters in this who look like Abraham Lincoln. There's other chin straps or little goatee beards. Like a lot of beards are in, mustaches are out in the mid 1800s in America, apparently.
Right, so it's not actually like a strong look for him. It's just a pretty average look of the time, but he's just the most famous figure of that era.
I think so. I think that's a big part of it. But also, yeah, he's also a huge... I didn't realize how tall he was. He'd be tall for today's standards. He's like 6'4".
Yeah, very tall, yeah.
Wow. So back then, he would have been freakishly tall.
So why did he put the hat on top of that?
I know. Come on,
it's like tall women wear heels.
He also wore stilettos, so feels like it was really, it was weird. He made himself a very easy target, to be honest.
It's because it's classically easy to shoot someone in the head if their head is 6'4" off the ground.
Funnily enough, there was an assassination attempt, I think, at one point, and they shot through his hat and he survived.
No.
That's what it was for. It was like a trick hat.
Yeah.
You never know where his head is.
Yeah.
Because they thought, well... his head's probably just that big and he's just covering up with...
kind of like Krusty, how he actually has normal-sized feet and he wears big shoes. But when he was framed by Sideshow Bob, Bob actually had big feet or whatever. Very interesting Simpsons point.
Great.
We've got to get a Simpsons reference in every episode, so I just wanted to tick that off early today.
I think it might have been the other way around.
He'll do Tism now.
Him with small feet and Sideshow Bob with...
That's what I said.
That's what I said.
No, sorry, Krusty with big feet.
No, you're wrong. Because he was pretending to be Krusty... Sideshow Bob was, and they stepped on his foot and he went, ow. But Krusty's just a normal... Anyway, it doesn't matter. Terwilliger's got big feet. Almost positive, but you should know better than me, so I'm also doubting myself. John Wilkes Booth's old man was Junius Brutus Booth, an English Shakespearean actor, right? Born in England.
Oh.
London.
That's a strong name. Junius Brutus
Booth. It is a strong name.
Junius. Don't know how I feel about that.
And Brutus, of course, that very famous Shakespeare character.
That's what I was about to say. That's who it was named after. And what was that character?
Brutus from Julius Caesar.
And what did he do?
Well, he stabbed Julius Caesar.
Assassinated.
In the Forum. That's right.
Assassinated a leader. So that's just coincidental.
Oh, that's very...
But it's
totally just stab Brutus from Mean Girls.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Making Shakespeare cool again.
Yeah.
Prior to John Wilkes' birth, instead of John Wilkes Booth, I didn't even intend that, but that's how it's been written there. By me. But I put a capital B on birth, so maybe I did mean it was late at night.
Just to emphasize it.
Prior to John Wilkes' birth, John Wilkes' birth, he was married with a child in London. This is Brutus.
All right, I was going to say, I thought before his birth he was married with a child, which is incredible.
Yeah, some people just start early.
And yet we talk about how he killed a president, which in comparison would be nothing if you were married with a child at birth.
Also a shape-shifting demon.
Mom.
In 1821, see how I did that?
You just said 18 instead of 19.
Didn't fuck it. Very I got good. Reprogrammed during the week.
You mean 1721?
Yeah. I'm always 100 out. He immigrated to America with his mistress, Mary Ann Holmes, abandoning his wife and son in England.
Oh.
So he left John Wilkes behind?
No, this is prior to his birth.
Oh, sorry.
That's why I wrote that prior bit. But as I was writing, I'm like, this is going to need explanation because it's a horribly constructed sentence. Anyway, Junius quickly became the most prominent actor in America.
What?
And went on to have a successful 30-year career there.
Wow.
Pretty much up until he died. He did have some issues. He was an alcoholic, and that obviously had some negative effects on himself. And it was
also some positive. When he was drunk, he felt good.
Yeah, he felt real good.
Sometimes. I assume.
Early on.
Without putting words or liquor in his mouth. It'd
be hard to now. Long dead. But yeah,
I'll try.
In 1835, Junius wrote a letter to President Andrew Jackson, president at the time, and he was asking that he pardon two pirates.
Sure.
Which
dear
I love.
President, please pardon.
I got a couple of these pirates. I think you should. In the same letter, he threatened to kill the president.
Oh.
This is the dad.
So Junior. Did he ask for the favor first? He or asked for the favor. His
bit of both. Apparently, he later apologized, and they were friends. So some say now that it was just a bit of a muck about.
Oh, okay.
Just have a little bit of friendly banter. Look... I will kill you.
Makes look nah, America you're right, look mate, quite small all the time. He goes over there, instantly becomes the most famous actor, writes a letter to the president, then they're best friends.
Yeah, it does seem very strange.
I think they were already friends.
How does one befriend a president?
But the crazy thing to me at the time, so back then, White House, you could just wander, anyone could wander in. It was, you know, their population was way smaller, and it was just a much freer place. You probably would bump down into the president down the shops or whatever. It'd be like the mayor today, you know? I bumped into the mayor of Melbourne on a pub crawl a couple of months ago.
Robert Doyle?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
Really? He was there just at a pub.
Was he part of the crawl?
No, he wasn't, but I invited him in.
And he said?
He said, good on you guys. We had a photo. It was really weird to me. I kept calling him Mr. Mayor.
Did he like it?
I don't know. I think he thought I was a weirdo because I was definitely being... I was trying to be funny.
And you were also...
But kind of in a way that he couldn't possibly be in on the joke.
And you were also a bit drunk?
I was only the fourth or fifth pub.
So a bit drunk.
And were you also requesting...
I was like 17, like relatively doing pretty well.
Yeah, but still, when your first meeting with him is the fourth or fifth pub, to him you're drunk.
But he's at the pub.
He's at the first pub, presumably. And also, were you requesting that he pardon some pirates?
Yes, I was.
That does make for an awkward conversation.
He KB'd
Did you threaten
me?
His life?
Yes.
And then did you shake hands because you're friends? Just a little fun.
I don't know about him, Doyle. Sometimes he says good stuff. I like how he wants to keep Melbourne open and not signify it by closing up the nightlife and stuff. But then he also is pretty messed up in some of his beliefs about, you know... rights of people and stuff.
Yeah, so I'd probably take the rights of people but over he does, being able to go to a bar at 2 a.m.
He likes Melbourne being able to party.
Yeah, but I'd like everybody to be able to party.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
And how does he feel about those pirates?
I think he's pretty hard on the pirates.
Oh.
He's not pro-pirate.
Yeah. I'm very pro-pirate.
So am I.
Pro-pirate.
Look, I'm going to say yes to pirates.
Yeah.
17 years after moving to American, I wrote... 17 years after moving to America, Junius and Holmes had their ninth child.
That's too many kids.
And his name was...
Gary.
No, John Wilkes Booth.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Gary Wilkes Booth.
They had another kid after that, but yeah, he was the ninth of 10.
My mum is one of 9, so I feel like I'm qualified to say too many kids.
Does she say that too?
Yeah.
My dad's one of 13 or 14.
Oof.
And that's also a lot of kids, but it's meant for, you know... Got a lot of family around me.
So much family. It's great. There's
definitely pros and cons.
Do they know what was causing it?
John
Perkins.
I reckon you've
said that. I've heard you say that recently. Oh, I heard you say it recently.
I think I said it last week.
2 weeks ago about Ernest Shackleton or something like that.
Great. Yeah. Very funny stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
What was I talking about? Yeah, anyway, he was born on the 10th of May, 1838 in Maryland. It's the land of Mary. And he was raised on the family farm with his siblings. So his dad's an actor, but they got a little family farm as well.
That's nice.
Family farm was tended to by slaves.
Okay.
So that's a kind of a key thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up with slaves, saw that as a bit of a right of the white man
sure.
to have black slaves.
Okay, well, you're painting this assassin in quite a negative light here.
Yeah. I mean...
And probably duly so. Duly so.
Booth attended the Milton Boarding School for Boys, of which he was one, and he was described as being disarmingly handsome from a young age.
Mm.
Disarmingly?
I've seen photos of it. Definitely attractiveness has changed in the last 150 years, because he looks like a kind of weird guy with a bad mustache. But anyway, apparently at the time that was good.
Disarmingly is such a good way to describe somebody.
The fact that you would hold a gun to his head and then see his face and just want to put it down.
Yeah, and you do put it down.
Wow. And also he's wearing a mustache going against the times.
That's interesting. Maybe that was sort of like the freedom-loving North, no mustaches. I don't know.
He's all right.
Okay.
Jess is Googling. Can you show me, Jess?
Yeah, he's a bit of all right. He looks like a bit like in a film adaptation of his life, Orlando Bloom may play him.
He looks like,
Oh, yeah, he's got a bit of... I don't get the Orlando Bloom thing.
You don't get Orlando Bloom in that?
No, I get it, I don't really get why Orlando Bloom is a heartthrob either.
Looks a little bit like young Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
Right, you're talking about a lot of nice people. This guy's a relatively bad guy, but, I mean, we haven't got to that yet.
Relative.
All I've said is that he enjoys slaves.
Well, you know, which pub were you at?
The theory of relativity... Bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
He made his acting debut at 17 in the role of Earl of Richmond in Shakespeare's play Richard III, or Dick the Turd, as my dad likes to call it when he chuckles
very
to himself.
Good.
Dick the Turd.
Dick the Turd. Is that a comp? I imagine that is not his joke.
No, but I've heard that before.
But I remember as a kid, him and probably me being very amused by the idea.
I think your dad made it his own.
He did. He put
it's
a little spin
delivery,
on it.
It's on the delivery, yeah.
So apparently he had talent, and he was soon in high demand to tour the country performing the works of Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
Looks like everything was, like a lot of it was Shakespeare back then, which is weird. We've moved on, obviously. So much so that I've read that he was the first actor in America known to have his clothes torn by fans. Like,
whoa,
he was like a real pop star in a way.
Wow.
I'd hate that.
To have your clothes ripped
off
your back.
Yeah, I'd never want us to get that famous.
Yeah, I'd hate that.
Too late, Jess.
But then just imagine, okay, your clothes are all torn off. Understandable. Thank you very much. But now what am I going to wear?
I think they hand you new clothes as well.
Oh.
It's like a trade.
Yep. Better clothes?
Better clothes.
It's always an upgrade.
Okay.
Always upgrading.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea.
You start in a tracksuit, and by the end of the day, you are tuxedoing all day long.
Armani.
They're wealthy fans.
Cool. Okay. No, sorry. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
No, well, I mean, that's something to keep in mind.
Absolutely.
I mean, don't let them tear them off if they don't have a coat hanger filled with some sort of designer duds.
Sure.
Duds means clothes. In the 1850s. Fuck.
19?
In the 1850s, Booth became a member of a group called the Know Nothings, which I love.
Sounds like a group you would be a part of.
The name originated from the secret organization of the party. That's another poorly worded sentence. But it was like a pretty secretive organization, right?
Like a gang.
It'd been organized pretty secretly. No good how I explain that. So apparently the story goes that a member was asked about, and he replied, I know nothing about how that all works out. And the name sort of stuck, right? And in 1855, when the group ran for parliament, they named themselves the American Party.
The American Party. Better than the Know Nothings.
Yeah, although something about, it's funny, because there are definitely parties in Australia at the moment that are gaining in popularity that sound like they have similar ideas, only with different targets. But the movement was started out of fears that Irish, Catholic, and German immigrants were threatening America's way of life.
Sure.
I love it. It's like any time, there's always groups of scared people who think that are afraid of
another
whoever
group.
The other is.
Yeah.
And it's just funny to think now, Irish, Catholics, and Germans, it's harder and harder the further you go back to, the racism was so specific.
Yeah.
Now it's just it's color of the skin. Back then, they had to look deeper than that.
Wow.
So in some ways, does that make them better or worse?
Better.
Better.
Yeah, they hated more people then.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they hated a lot of people. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
fucked. They were better racists back then.
But it's an interesting thing because that has not gone away in humanity, you know. People being afraid that others are coming in and ruining our thing that we've got because they're going to ruin what we do, you know. And it usually is not.
Well, someone said that when we joined Bloody Planet Broadcasting.
Yeah.
They're going to ruin it. We've got to run these guys out of town before they ruin our podcast.
We may do that too. I'm not saying it's not always true. Definitely in some podcast cases, maybe it is true. And fear is justified.
Mm.
Membership of the party was restricted to Protestant men only, which is pretty specific now. But I guess that was sort of, again, it's funny. Like now it's like Christians grouped together. But back then, even there was splits in Christians. We like these kind of Christians, not those slightly different Catholic ones. And one of their main aims was to limit immigration into America. So he was a bit of a xenophobic d-bag kind of guy.
Great.
Luckily we've moved on from that. So,
but I don't.
It's funny looking back at these backwards weirdos
who are anti-immigration.
I'm so happy to be alive in this day and age when none of that happens anymore.
It is nice.
It's just so nice. You get up on your high horse and you laugh at history. How we mistreated each other. Never again.
No. We've learned. We have learned.
Haven't we just? Yeah.
150 years. Stuff changes so much.
Haven't the Irish and the Germans ruined America like he was worried about?
They certainly have.
Yeah.
In numerous ways.
They ruined it.
Commenting on a country I don't live in. I'm happy to do it.
Anyway, we are getting off topic. Through the 1850s, Booth's acting career went from strength to strength. I don't think he was super public about how he was, like, I don't know if he was that publicly political. Like, he joined that party, but that was a relatively secret organization. I don't think, but I may be wrong, because he was able to cross from the north to the south, and he hung out with people everywhere, you know? And he used that to his advantage in the Civil War. He was sort of went undercover for the south and hung out with pretty important people in the north and almost like a double agent sort of thing. It's interesting. But he used his fame and stuff as well. He was a very well-known guy. Very recognizable face. And
is that something these days?
Because his acting career was going so well. Of this time, he's been described as being the handsomest man in America.
Whoa.
And also a natural genius.
Okay.
Is this on johnwilkesbooth.org?
Yeah. He wrote this all in his diary.
Dear diary, I am a handsome genius. Love Booth.
Towards the end of the 50s, he was becoming quite wealthy as well, earning around 20 grand a year, which today's over half a million a year.
Whoa.
Oh, that's like almost as much as I make.
Yeah. That's podcast money.
That's podcast money. Wow.
Dave, are you rich?
Hey, I don't like to label it. I like to call myself eccentrically affluent.
Damn, what a life.
What a life.
In 1859, he joined a Virginia militia to assist in the execution of John Brown. Have you heard of John Brown? He was a member of the abolitionist movement, keen to get rid of
slavery.
Abolish it.
Oh.
And but he believed that the only way to do it was, you know, through violence.
Brown did?
Yeah, Brown did.
Violent towards whom?
Arm the slaves, make an uprising, you know?
Shit.
Yeah, so Brown led a raid on the federal armory at Harper's Ferry with the intention of starting a liberation movement among the slaves there.
Wow.
Broke in, seven people killed and others were injured. But his plan was to arm the slaves with weapons, but unfortunately, make your own judgments on that. The plan, unfortunately for him, I suppose, the plan... Look, I'm talking myself around in knots here. Obviously, slavery's bad. I'm not 100% sure if the right way to go about it was arming the slaves.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
No. I don't know enough about it.
My gut reaction is that doesn't seem like a nice plan, because then there's just going to be more death.
Yeah, but there's something about it that sounds pretty awesome as well.
It sounds like a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Maybe more of a Steven Seagal.
Yeah, Under Siege 2.
Yeah.
When he's on a train or a
That subtle difference between Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You know, yeah. But it's there. It's subtle, but it's there.
Well, only one of them had a successful blues career, I'm pretty sure. Successful being relative.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah.
The plan failed.
I'm so sorry. I take it all back.
He was captured and tried for treason against the Commonwealth of Virginia, as well as the murder of five men and inciting a slave insurrection.
Wow. Insurrection.
So was he himself a slave?
Can you pronounce that right for me, please?
Dave?
Insurrection.
Great. That's what I said.
Was John Adams himself a slave?
No, John Brown wasn't.
John Adams is the second.
John Brown was a white man who just...
Because
the big split in America at that point, I guess, or seemingly, was people who believed slavery was the right, and the people who thought that's not what America about. America was about freedom.
That's not what America about.
Yeah.
Hey, that slogan.
I'm putting it in the words of the day.
Yeah,
that's right. That's just using old English to describe the situation.
That ain't America about.
About.
Oh, I talk good. So, yeah, he was found guilty on all counts and sentenced to death by hanging.
Whoa.
So that's when John Wilkes Booth went along with that militia and stood there protecting the hanging. They were worried about other abolitionists coming to try and free Brown.
Right, okay.
So he was there at the time, saw him get hanged. And he was totally for it, but he did... And he's glad he died and that sort of stuff, because it was everything he was against.
Oof.
But he did kind of admire how Brown just copped it. He's like, all right, dead, toughed it out sort of thing. And also I also read that he sort of appreciated how he just he went after the thing he believed in, you know?
But imagine being glad that someone was dead.
That's a weird...
That's such a weird thing. It like, is there's a weird lots thing. Of people that I disagree with. Heaps.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever good.
But I wouldn't be like, ah, ding dong, the witch is dead.
Yeah.
Hooray.
It's too hot to be thinking about such... Have we mentioned that it's still so hot, in Melbourne? In the summertime, who would have thought it?
It's so hot in the studio.
Stop it, February.
I feel like
Stop
I'm
it.
Melting. My energy levels are just... I could just fall asleep.
In 1860, Abraham Lincoln was elected as the 16th President of the United States. Soon after, Booth wrote a long speech making clear his support for the South and of slavery, but apparently he never made this speech publicly.
He just wrote it down.
What, did he just look in the mirror and say it? And that's a speech?
Yeah, I wonder if he had any thought at any stage, because in the end, obviously, he didn't care, but maybe at some point he's like, this won't be good for my acting career, like choosing a side publicly. But he was so passionate about it, so why would he? I'm not sure. Or maybe he thought I'm more valuable when people don't know.
He probably just wanted to keep making money.
Making money, but also he was, you know, being the, when the war started, he was, you know, going to be double agent, that sort of stuff. So.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't really do that if you're very clearly going, Lincoln's fucked.
Yep.
Slavery's the best.
And the next month you're like, hello, Abraham Lincoln. I'm very happy to be your assistant.
Yeah, what do you want to tell me about your tactics? The following year, the Civil War began with 11 states seceding from the Union. In Maryland, where Booth was from, they decisively voted against leaving the Union, but they also voted to not allow federal troops to pass south via their railway. Right, so they're like... We're not seceding, but we also are kind of, we're not going to help the North. Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to stay neutral, I guess. But their state was a very key route for the North to get down to the South. And it made the war almost unwinnable for the North, or made it very hard, difficult for them to get a win there. So by them deciding to not allow them through... by rail, they basically forced Lincoln's hand in some ways. I mean, you could argue this or not, but he suspended the writ of habeas corpus, imposing martial law in parts of the state, which allowed the imprisonment of many of the political leaders of Maryland, basically without a charge.
Yeah, trial by jury, that kind of thing. Yeah. That's what that means, right?
So you'd sort of taken away their rights to a fair, quick and fair trial, which meant that they could go on, they could... use the trains, choo-choo. Booth and others saw this move as a little unconstitutional, which
to be honest, it probably is.
Yeah.
And that's the
not
thing,
that like, I'm super familiar with the Constitution, but it does feel a bit like I'm using the law as long as it favours me, and then I'm going
to... Yeah, is it all right to ever do that? That's the thing, to give up your... to take away the rights.
Is it the ends justify the means? It feels like... It's a tricky one.
Yeah.
Because it's gray like, area. That was for the fight against slavery.
I know, but at the same time...
But at the same time, when you start doing that, then where does it stop?
Exactly. It doesn't protect you in the long run.
In 1862, Booth made his New York debut in the lead role in Dick the Turd, being as Dick the Turd.
He was the dick.
He was the big
dick. He was the dick.
He definitely feels like he could play that role.
The role of the dick.
Very good.
He's a bit of a dick.
And Richard III's also a bit of an evil, conniving character.
Being described at the time in the New York Herald as a veritable sensation, he achieved national praise as an up-and-comer, and in the days leading up to the Gettysburg Address in 1963, President Abraham Lincoln attended a performance of the play The Marble Heart at Ford's Theatre, which Dave mentioned earlier. In the play, John Wilkes Booth played the villain.
Oh.
So he saw him play a villain.
Yeah.
And was it called The Marble?
It was called The Marble Heart.
Marble Heart.
And according to author Harold Holzer, during the play, Booth directed many of his villainous lines toward the presidential box where Lincoln was sitting. And
how can you tell?
And well, apparently, this led to Lincoln's companion, which I think I read was a relative, but anyway, telling him, he almost seems to be reciting these lines to you. And the president replied, he does look pretty sharp at me, doesn't he? Apparently.
Weird.
Wow. And then everyone else said, shh, I'm trying to fucking watch the show. Seats cost a fortune. But fuck.
Apparently, Lincoln was paranoid about his death a fair bit. He said a few times that if someone wants to kill me, they will. If they want, and especially if they're willing to give their life for mine, there's nothing really I can do to stop them. So he didn't have like heaps of security, and that wasn't necessarily common at the time anyway. People could walk in and out of the White House, and he'd go to public events a lot. He often went to the theater. He found that a bit of a refuge during the Civil War, and sort of just a place to, I guess, to get away from it all.
Get away from it all and have actors yell lines at you.
Wow.
Oi, dog! Is he talking to me?
Oi, Lincoln, your dog! Lincoln, yeah. Okay, that one felt like that.
Yeah, that felt... All right, I've seen this Shakespeare before and I've never heard this line before.
I don't think there's anybody called Lincoln in this.
Lincoln, your fucking dog!
Yeah, you, President Lincoln, sitting up there, row A-A-B.
I'm talking to you!
A-A-B. I meant, like, it's hot.
I don't know if that'd be like good of a seat.
AAB.
Double AB. They've gone through the A's so much. It's AAB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oi, Lincoln, get back in the box, you dog.
AAB. What?
There were budget cuts.
This theatre had seated 67,000 people.
AAB. I read and heard multiple historians say that despite going on to become a cold hard killer, sorry about the spoiler, Booth was not a madman. They reckon he wasn't like he was a psychopath or anything like that, from what I read from some say. But it does seem that he was clearly a white supremacist, and really hated the abolishing of slavery. That was one of the big things he didn't like. And also, he didn't like the government having more power, the federal government having more power, like... They were trying to do. It's interesting because they're. Do you know what party Lincoln was a member of?
I don't have a clue.
It's one of the current ones.
Is it shifted the other way that he was a Republican?
He's a Republican.
I was going to say Republican. Oh my God, always trust your gut. Damn it! I was going to say Republican, and then I was like, I'm going to sound like an idiot. I won't say it. I'll just say I don't know.
I don't know Fuck. If you necessarily sound like an idiot on that one.
Fuck.
It's another country's ancient political history.
I said.
Yep. Fuck. Good point.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
John Wilkes Booth was one of those people who thought the best country in the history of the world was the United States as it existed before the Civil War, historian and Booth biographer Terry Alford says. And then when Lincoln came along, he was changing that in fundamental ways. So this is what was kind of pissing Booth off.
He's changing America.
He's making America great for the first time.
Sure.
Or whatever. Despite clearly being a bit of a fuckhead, Booth was known to commit a few acts of heroism, according to Alford, saying that one time on stage he saved a young woman whose dress caught on fire, having wandered too close to the gas footlights.
Was she in the show? Or was she just an audience member?
She was in the show.
Please keep your hands within the seats at all times for your own safety. Not like this fucking idiot.
I don't know if that necessarily makes you a hero that you helped someone who was near you have their dress on fire. I guess... Yeah, he was. Yeah. He wasn't a scared guy.
So he wasn't a coward.
Yeah,
he didn't see fire and go and run away.
He did the bare minimum of what you do when someone is on fire.
Yeah, but that
you try and put them out.
Alfred,
well done, hero.
Alfred calls that heroism anyway.
I feel like Alfred's dedicated his life to him and probably tries to get a little bit of good out of him.
Yeah, I guess so. You gotta find some dark and shade. Dark and shade. Oh boy. In 1865, Booth became involved in a conspiracy to kidnap President Lincoln. So this is his big plan. This is his plan. Yeah, he wanted to kidnap him. This is during the war, and the North were on top in terms of manpower. The North had a lot of Southern prisoners. South had a lot of Northern prisoners as well, but free men left to fight. The North was ahead, and they said no to a deal of swapping prisoners because they had an advantage if they didn't. Mm. You know, they were starting to wear down the South. So his plan was to kidnap Lincoln and use Lincoln as a pawn to trade for the release of the South's prisoners, the Confederate prisoners.
Oh, well, it's a big card.
Use it like a ransom. Yeah, exactly. Booth enlisted a group of six Southern sympathizers, one of those being a hard man and Confederate Army veteran, Lewis Thornton Powell, who'd been a prisoner but escaped. And he took on the alias of Lewis Payne, who he seems to be often... I like that. Yeah,
what's
right.
What's the most under-the-radar name that I can think of? Lewis Madman Payne.
Lewis, I've got a gun, Payne.
Definitely going to kill the President Payne.
So he seemed to be referred...
But I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to kidnap him, so I've really thrown him off the scent there.
But I'm going to inflict pain. So Powell, I'm going to call him Powell, so often people call him Payne, but anyway, Powell was connected to the White Power movement directly via his cousin.
The White Powell movement.
Confederate General John B. Gordon, I was going to call him John B. Goodman.
Johnny B. Good.
John B. Gordon, who was also the head of George's Ku Klux Klan.
Oh.
Some of the people in the group at this stage included John Surratt, a 21-year-old Confederate spy. And his mum, Mary Surratt, who owned the Maryland Tavern and a boarding house that was used as a meeting place by the crew, amongst a few others. Booth's gang of Confederate operatives and sympathizers set themselves for the kidnapping in March 1865 in Washington, D.C. They knew that Lincoln was due for a visit at this hospital. And they took up the position on the road on the way to that hospital. Would have been good back in those days. Like, well, we'll go by the road, the only road that gets to this place.
Yeah, one road.
But unfortunately, their plan failed as Lincoln changed his plans late and attended another function instead.
Use the other road.
It was like, well, there's nothing we can do about it. And they would have waited beyond
12 hours. Yeah, it's like 3 a.m. They're like, do you reckon he's coming?
Boring. Booth attended the White House around a month later, where he saw Lincoln give a speech. Lincoln scholar Hugh Boyle, I'm going to be quoting a little bit from now on, has said that Booth was enraged as he listened to Lincoln talk about how black men should have the right to vote as well. So not only get rid of slavery, but also make them citizens, basically.
Real humans.
Real humans.
Wow.
And that
just ground his gears.
Really pissed off Booth. Oh. What? What do you mean? That's the opposite of what I want. Ugh. You know, that sort
I
of stuff.
I feel so little sympathy for this guy.
Yeah, I know. Well, you were calling him a babe before. You fucking
That has nothing to do with his...
Have you turned on him? From when you loved him before?
Sounds like he turned on you.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say.
We believe that Booth made up in his mind about the assassination on that day. This is still old mate.
That was the day he was like, I'm not going to kidnap him. I'm going to fucking murder him.
Apparently he turned to Powell at that, or Payne, Powell.
Turned to Payne.
I'm going to call it, maybe I'll call him Payne.
Turned to Powell and said, sorry, what's your name again?
Yeah, was it
You Payne? Keep changing it. It's very confusing.
Can I just call you Louie?
Louie.
That's Payne.
But apparently he turned to Powell and said, that's the last speech Lincoln will ever give.
Oh, creepy.
And then...
And Payne said, pardon?
Pardon? It's very loud here.
And he's like, well, that's not going to have the impact it had the first time, is it? Fuck.
Don't worry about it, Louis.
Don't worry about it. Oh, fuck. Ruined. Two of these, one of these. Louis, use them in that... I'm pointing at my ears and my mouth.
There we go.
Two mouths and one ear? Is that what Matt was pointing at?
There's two mouths.
So the new plan, and this was put together pretty quickly within a few days, was to kill three of the big dogs in the Lincoln leadership team. One of those being Lincoln.
Sounds a bit like the new plan might be just not letting him do speeches anymore.
Yeah,
that'll be the last speech he ever does. What are you going to do?
I'm going to take his mic.
You're going to turn his microphone off forever. What, you kill him? What? No. What?
Oh, my God.
You're crazy.
I'm not a murderer.
Turning his microphone off? Isn't that a euphemism?
I'm an audio technician. What do you think?
Turn the mic off.
Turn the mic off. That'll piss him off.
No, it'll hear him.
It'd be great.
He'll still talk, but no one will know.
Back now in the 1800s, there's only one mic in America.
And I'm the guy who looks after that mic.
There's two roads, one mic. Everyone knows that.
Oh, two roads, one mic is a great show title.
Two roads, one mic.
Yeah.
It's just a picture of you on the cover, hitchhiking with the microphone.
Yeah, great. Look out for that in 2018.
So during the 72 hours after he made the decision to assassinate on April the 11th, Booth organized Powell, a guy named Alsterot.
That's not a name.
He's terrible at coming up with aliases. What's your name? I'm Payne. What's yours? Asterot?
Okay.
Let's just call him George.
All right, George. Georgie boy. And David Herald.
Dave, George.
And who's... they're going to take out the top three. So is that like Abraham and his right hand?
I'm getting into that now. So Booth put his hand up for Lincoln. And his plan was to do it at the Ford Theatre. Payne was going to kill Secretary of State William Seward at his home.
Oh.
And I saw that apparently Booth went to his house and just wrote it. There's a note that just saw a photo of it. Just said, this is John Wilkes Booth, famous actor. Just wondering if you're going to be home. Cheers, basically.
What?
Really?
Yeah, some of that. And Asterot was to kill Vice President Andrew Johnson.
Wow.
They're all going to happen at 10:15, exact same time. Synchronize your watches. And the idea of that was so that, if they killed one, then obviously the other ones would be fearful.
I'll take over.
Notified. Notified and ready to, they might have more guards or whatever.
So
more than none.
Do it at the exact same minute.
Wow.
I'm 5 seconds late.
Well, it looks like he lives.
I bought the plan.
I've read this in different ways. This happened at different times, either before or after or during he was at the theatre. But according to Boyle, Booth stopped in at a salon. Booth stopped in at a saloon. At a salon. Right, he stopped in.
He got his hair done.
Quick trim.
Then he got a drink.
Got his mustache waxed and that sort of stuff.
Can you say quick trim again?
Quick trip.
Quick trim.
Quick trim, sorry. All right, great. The words you actually said.
Very funny.
I'm doing quick very trim. Well. Just stopping in for a quick trim. Just a little bit off the top and the sides.
Oh, man, I fucking hate that question of the hairdressers. So, what can I do? Obviously, they've got to ask that question, but I always just say, just make it shorter.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, I don't know.
Just take it all back.
And they ask you these questions like you're some sort of hair expert. Do you want it to blend into the fade, or are you happy to have this bit here? And you're like, I don't fucking know. Just make me look slightly less shit.
My three haircuts a year, I go to a mate, and I just go, look, I trust you, mate, just... don't make it look fucked. And he goes, but apparently, the fashion has been for the last couple of years around Melbourne, especially inner city Melbourne with guys, is like that real short cut around the sides. Mm-hmm. A bit more dramatic than you and not a fade or whatever you just said there. Is that what the fade is?
I think, yeah, so it fades in.
Blend. No blend, right? Just a hard line and then a bit longer on the top. And he was talking about how that's what he does 90% of the days. He does that haircut.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't like it, but he'll do mine differently or whatever. As you can tell, pretty good haircut.
You don't have that.
Don't have a haircut because I haven't had one in about 6 months. But he goes, they always describe the same thing and they take minutes to describe it. And he's like, yeah. And he points to this photo he's got in a frame on the desk of Bert from Bert and Ernie on the Muppets. He goes, that's what you want, isn't it? And he's like, they always sort of sheepishly go,
yeah
I guess that is pretty much, yep.
That's great. That's so good.
It's so brutal.
Bert.
Every time.
Well done.
You want the Bert. He just taps it.
I'm sure he had, there's all sorts of, hair magazines that he could take out.
And get the proper
legit. Yeah. But instead he's like, you want Bert?
You want
the Bert?
You
want
to look like a Muppet.
And he lets him talk for, 3 minutes. Yeah. And then, do you want this? Oh, fuck.
Yes.
I'm Bert.
Basically, that's...
fucking Bert.
My hairdresser is my sister-in-law, and I just go to her and go, fix it.
That's what I wish I could
say. She just does it.
I reckon you can if you go to the right person. You just need to go to a regular person. Just go, I trust you. Do whatever.
Yeah.
I just wear a hat all the time anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Maybe start wearing hats.
Your hat hair looks great. You've never looked better. That video on your YouTube channel with long hair is the worst.
Oh, work on
and
the video.
And you've progressively gotten better since then. And now
as
I can't
should,
even...
As you should get better.
But I can't even... I cannot even... You are a different... That guy and you... I can't... I've never seen someone improve that much over 10 years.
Thank you. So this... I can't, wow. Imagine how bad it looked before, Jess.
No, I know what you looked like and it wasn't that bad. But what a lovely thing to say.
Just to narrow in on this. Do I look... good now or just a lot less shit? No.
I'm not.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that that wasn't.
I did not throw the word good around.
So on a scale of one to John Wilkes Booth, how am I looking?
Oh, I don't see Booth, but I do see Warnocky. I see it. I get it. When people say disarmingly handsome Dave Warnocky, I go, yeah, I see that.
Oh, big time.
You'll put the gun down for me.
Lay down your guns, baby, and surrender. That's what I'd do.
I wouldn't know why anybody would have a gun. What?
Before,
that was your eyes.
It was not a cut, Matt.
So just... in the salon bar. Yeah. So he got a quick trim, but also a drink.
Oh, so one of those ones where they cut your hair and give you a beer.
Oh yeah.
Apparently, he normally drank gin or something like that. But on this night, for some reason, he had a whiskey.
Sure. Special occasion.
Unexplained why, as to why, but he had that. So apparently, according to Boyle, someone recognized him there as the actor. John Wilkes Booth.
Oh.
And said to him...
No, it is I, John Wilkes Payne.
Apparently, and I never believe these things. It's like, when was this noted down? No one's recording all these conversations. All these things like Lincoln in the booth saying, yeah, he did look sharply at me, didn't he? Like, when was that recorded? Anyway, whatever. Apparently, he said, the guy who recognized him said, you're not the actor your father was. Right, which is a fair burn. And apparently he said in reply, when I leave the stage, I'll be the most famous man in America.
Wow.
So he's sort of just saying, I'm about to do something pretty big.
Like kill a president.
When I leave the stage, I'll have killed the president. Fuck. I said it out loud.
I said a little too much. I was meant to say something mysterious that only I got. And I'm chuckling away. No, hang on. The bit I was meant to say in my head, I said out loud, and the bit
Can you forget that? Hang on, start that again. Say the thing about me not being as good as my dad. Say that again.
And the official biographer in the corner taking all these notes down is like, this is a pretty juicy story.
Thank God.
But
I won't tell
the president. No, I won't tell him.
No.
It's only going to be a juicy story if it actually turns out to be true.
Like one of that Twitter account that's tweeting, making predictions about Beyonce being pregnant, Trump being winning the presidency. And then some people are now just saying, yeah, it probably just predicted like 10,000 things and deleted everything that didn't
come
true.
Smart if it did.
There you go.
That is smart.
So around 9:30, a booth arrives at the rear entrance.
Do you mean 18:30?
About 9:30.
8:30 would have been funnier, Dave, but no, it wouldn't have been.
It wouldn't have made as much sense.
Oh, it's good when we have to explain jokes.
So at around 9:30 p.m., booth arrived at the rear of the theatre. See, some people said he went through the theatre earlier, went to a bar, and that's where that other thing happened. Doesn't matter. Whatever. I'm not 100% on all these details. Is anyone here for the fine details? Sure, everyone. Okay,
You're
great.
You're getting weirdly defensive when neither of us have said anything or looked at you differently.
I'm talking to our listeners.
I got a question. Did the barber just tap the photo of Ernie?
Tapped it. He tapped it.
Bert.
Well, that's it. I'm going to go kill the president.
You're not going to get an Ernie haircut. Ugh.
Yeah. Very similar, though.
No, Ernie was big at the time. That's why it's come full in 150 years. It's gone from Bert all the way to Ernie.
I thought you'd fucked up, but you were being clever. I'm so sorry.
He definitely wasn't. Definitely wasn't being clever on any level. So he arrives at the theatre at the rear entrance, right? He's got a horse which he's just picked up. Apparently horses were hard to find at the time, but he got this one-eyed horse who apparently was very quick. And the guy
who... What? Sorry, you said the story... Apparently, he arrived at the theatre, went through the back door. Now he's on a horse. Now the horse has got one eye. Now the horse is hard to find. What's going on?
But I didn't say any of those things. You misheard all of those just slightly, but that's fine. Anyway, he's got a horse, right? Mm-hmm. He's ridden there.
And it has one eye.
Back door. Apparently, got one eye. Because they're all being used in the war, I guess this one was probably dishonorably discharged for only having one eye. Probably honorably. Whatever. It did only have one eye, so it wasn't in the war.
The dishonor of having one eye.
I think, look, that's what I understand. Anyway. Shut up! Okay, no, good on you. And anyway, so he gets there, and his friend, right, because he performed at this theatre a lot, he knows everyone there.
Of course.
None of them are thinking, oh, what the fuck
is
this
guy?
But he's not on.
Like,
he's not on that night.
But he's not on that night. Right. But he's like, he calls out to his mate named Ned Spangler.
Yeah, shit!
He goes, hey, mate, come out here. He's like a carpenter and you know, works at the bloody joint. But he's meant to be, you know, working on the show. So he comes out and he goes, hey, mate, I need you to hold my horse, right? I need you to hold my horse. He's like, I can't hold your fucking horse. I'm working on the show, right? But he boots in, and so Spangler's called another dude, a guy who apparently his nickname was Peanut John. I guess he probably sold peanuts. Real name Burrows. In the theatre, Peanut John loved that. Anyway, right. He came and he held the horse. Spangler went back to work, whatever. So
Peanut John has a lot less to do.
So Booth's in.
Well, the people have got their peanuts. He's done until interval.
Everyone got their peanuts? I can help you.
From there, he's in the theatre, right? And he sort of weaved his way through under the theatre, through side doors. He knows it back to front, basically. And he finds himself behind the presidential box. In his hand, he's got a gun with one bullet.
With one eye.
Yes. And he's got one eye. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the hole at the top.
Great. Just wanted to...
The old one-eyed gun.
Just wasn't sure if guns had changed that much. Okay.
They hadn't. But now you'd probably have one with multiple bullets.
And multiple eyes.
You're putting a lot
of... It's very dramatic to just have the one.
Yeah.
Like, you're really backing yourself, aren't you?
One bullet.
He knew this play back to front, right? And he knew that this very funny line was coming up. He knew when it happened and that was the big laugh in the show.
Ah.
So on that, he went in knowing that they wouldn't hear him open the door and go in under the cover of the big laugh, which was some bad pun joke or something that I didn't get.
Imagine if the actor fucked the line that night. Yeah. No one laughed. He walks in.
And everyone turns and looks at him.
Yeah. He's just like, got a gun. I'll come back.
Sorry, I can see you're busy.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry about that.
I'll come back. What's this? Nothing.
Like,
so all of a sudden, he's right behind the president.
Peanuts?
That's not your job. That's Peanut John.
Walks right up to him. One bullet, back of the head. Bang.
Really?
And he's down. Pandemonium in the theatre when the people are realising.
So here the bullet.
Lincoln's wife had her hand in his, apparently. But, I mean, these are things that who knows how accurate they all are. But apparently, so she knew straight away something was wrong. Like her husband was dead. And
he starts squeezing her. Oh, my God, he's squeezing it so hard. I think he's just been shot in the back of the head.
He hits the deck. And all hell breaks loose. People are squealing. His wife's screaming. Someone's saying, the president's been shot. President's been shot. There's a doctor, young surgeon, 23-year-old guy, in the audience. He rushes up. He checks. He's not breathing. He's dead, right? Tries to resuscitate him. Then he puts his hand on his head, sort of feeling through his hair until his fingers go into a gaping hole in the back of the head where he finds the wound. Some blood gushes out and the president comes back to life.
What?
So, I guess some blockage or something happens. I don't know about science and shit or medical stuff. He's back alive.
What?
He's like, sit up.
He's sort of, well, like his heart starts beating again and that sort of stuff, you know?
Oh my God, I did not know that.
Everyone, like the doctor and others in there, at that stage. So maybe like today, potentially medical science could have saved him.
Yeah.
But at that stage, they're like, it's too full on. It's a big
bullet.
The bullet's lodged behind his eye. He's he's in a lot of strife, right? But they're like, this is not the place for him to die. So they pick him up and lift him up, take him out onto the street. And they're like, we've got to find a bed for him. There's a hotel across the road. And the hotelier sees what's going on. He goes, I've got a bed. Come over here. They take him upstairs.
He's got heaps, actually.
Yeah, he's got
heaps of beds.
But he's got one presidential suite, luckily.
Oh, thank goodness.
And they put him in the bed, and he lives for a while, has a lot of visitors come through.
No.
Never comes to.
Right.
But he's still, you know, he's still technically alive. People get to say goodbye, that sort of stuff, and the next day he dies.
Wow. Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, did I? I just thought it was a good night.
Yeah.
And did the people at the theatre get a refund?
Yes.
David.
Yes.
Because that would be pretty
pissed. Did they really?
I would doubt it. But apparently they were pretty upset about it.
Yeah, because the show is on the... They don't know how it ends. They don't know it back to front, I mean, like John Wilkes Booth.
They got the big laugh.
But yeah, that is good.
A couple of thousand people just stoked at the same time, just cackling.
Oh. Wow, I didn't know that.
At the same time...
Yeah, where's John Wilkes gone?
Okay, yeah, great. All right, you want to know that? Good point. Lincoln was, he couldn't get, he asked like, apparently like a bunch of people to come with him that night. His wife was feeling a bit ill. She got migraines a lot and wasn't kind of keen to pull out of the plans. But Lincoln, the war had ended just recently. Lincoln was feeling really good. He'd had a date afternoon with his wife. They went out in a carriage ride. She was like, he seemed like such a big weight had lifted. She was they were loving each other's company, and they felt like, you know, they got through obviously a tough time. The war was coming to an end. It was some say it was over. There was some fighting still going on, but it was basically over by this stage. And so he was keen to go, basically celebrate.
Yeah.
His hair down a bit. She was kind of keen not to. He couldn't
take the hat off.
He wanted to go with some others, but he couldn't. No one was up for it.
Imagine that.
Yeah, so we have the
no
president.
No one wants to hang out with the president.
Imagine the president not being able to find someone to hang out with.
But at the last minute, he found a couple. One of them was an army type.
Yeah.
So this guy was sitting there as well.
Have you ever met them
he
before?
He grabbed Books.
Books. Booth.
Wow.
John Wilkes Booth.
By the boots.
So he shot Lincoln in the back of the head. This army man grabbed him by the jacket. Booth pulls a knife out of his jacket and shoves it through army man. Sorry, I don't know his name. Sorry, sir. Through his arm, above the above his elbow, so I think below his shoulder, above his elbow, and pushing him against the wall. Blood streaming out. Booth goes to jump from the balcony, which is sort of over the stage, onto the stage.
Wow!
Army man grabs him by the jacket. So he jumps a bit off, but it's like a 12-foot leap to the stage. So it's a big jump. So Booth lands on the stage, sort of hurts himself, but I guess his adrenaline would be fucking going through the roof of that stage.
He just shot the president.
Fight or flight. He'd be the guy be fine
he,
for now.
He hates and he just totally disagrees with, so much so that he killed him. And he goes, Sic Semper Tyrannis.
Jess, as a Latin expert, can you translate for us?
So what was it?
Sic Semper Tyrannis.
Unwell spider. Tyrannus, tarantula.
My God, that doesn't seem to make any sense in the situation.
He said thus always to tyrants.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I guess he's calling Lincoln a tyrant, and this is how
and
it goes.
And a spider.
He runs out the back, horses waiting for him, jumps on.
With a broken leg.
Escapes town. He's out. He made it away.
Peace.
Wow.
Right, so that's Booth. He got away out of a crowded theater like that. That all happened, and then obviously.
And his Peanut Man just being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I guess he would have been.
Jumping a horse.
All right, see ya.
Do you want any nuts?
So at the same time.
Take that as a no.
Bye, see you next week.
Tell you what was nuts. The happening's in the theatre just now.
He's got no idea what's happened.
He goes back in. Anyone want some nuts? There's a bit of commotion in here. Third act did not go well.
Two for one?
Is everyone screaming?
So Payne and Harold got to the home of Secretary Seward.
The other guys.
So they wanted at the same time, 10:15, they were trying to do as well. Harold waited outside with the horses. That was a slightly better plan. It's so funny that Booth was just by himself, even though he was kind of in this mini gang. And Powell went to the front door. Payne went to the front door with a gun and a knife. He just pushed his way into the house, went up to the stairs, and just started stabbing away, apparently.
What?
And missed. Just kept missing.
No.
Missed, he got disturbed missed. By Seward's son, Frederick. Payne tried to shoot him in the head, but the gun didn't fire.
Tries to shoot the son or the...
So he beat him across the head. No, the Seward.
Oh, right.
Oh, my God.
He also fought with a nurse and a daughter.
It's all gone wrong.
He did slash the Secretary of State with the knife, though, got him in the face, and he was bleeding, and he got him pretty good, but he didn't kill him, right?
And there's the guy just out the front with the horse going, doesn't sound like it's going well in there.
But I'll still wait here.
Oh, wait.
Apparently, Harold ran away. He was like, fuck, he shat himself, and he wore the guy waiting with the horses.
Did he legit poo himself?
I think he legitimately did. Payne.
And who recorded that? The official biographer. So
his wife when she did the bloody laundry.
Can I check your pants? Oh, this is going in the diary.
They've got them and they're still on display at a museum locally. So Payne apparently was just like, what the fuck? And he was wandering around town and he slept under a tree, sort of slept rough and he...
Oh, because the guy ran out on him.
Yeah. The other guy, so that one was not a success.
He stabbed him in the face and he fucked it.
And he ended up surviving, he recovered. It could have gone either way, I think, but he came good. The other one, George Astorot, had a gun. He went to the vice president's where he was staying, and but he bailed. He chickened out, sort of. He couldn't, or he either chickened out or decided he didn't want to do it or whatever.
Wow. But he bailed.
But he bailed on it. So that one didn't even get close to happening.
Wow.
So
now John Wilkes is going to feel like a real idiot.
I really think the guy that feels like a real idiot is the one that stuffed it.
Yeah, true.
Pain.
More so than John Wilkes Booth.
Booth got away. He was, I mean, I feel like I'm going to wrap this up quickish. But anyway, he got away. He was out of town. He was in hiding for a couple of weeks.
Wow.
He started writing his diary. He asked for some newspapers because he thought, he's like, I'm a bloody hero.
Yeah.
At least to the South, I'm going to be seen as a hero here. Got the papers. Was disappointed to find out that he was almost universally negatively received.
Got a bad review.
Got a bad review.
Couldn't handle a bad review, hey, ugh. John?
What that's like.
Yeah, that time you killed the president and got a bad review.
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck off.
2 stars. That was at least 3.
It was a good murder.
Fucking hell.
Other people involved in the getaway, including there was a doctor, Dr. Samuel Mudd. I've read, like, his ancestors are still sort of say he didn't know what he was doing. But others say that he aided and abetted him on his getaway. So whether or not he knowingly did that is up for some debate.
Right. But it was a pretty famous story, I imagine. He's just killed the... And a famous actor has just shot the president.
Yeah.
It's like Leonardo DiCaprio shooting Donald Trump now. It'd be a huge story.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that, you know, like what happened with this. Like, you know, people hate Trump. People love him, like Lincoln. Do you think people... I reckon there would be people who'd be celebrating Trump's assassination. But I don't think... I think, like we were talking about before, that's not good for democracy.
No, it
isn't. That can't be the answer. And people can't celebrate that, even if you fully disagree with someone. And I guess that's how people would see it.
Mm.
Again, it would be similar to this and the killer would be like, hey, what do you... I thought we all hated Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not, like, yeah, we hate him, but we just want him to not be in power now.
Next time for someone else to get more votes.
What can be said is there'd be a lot of think pieces about the topic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why you Hot should takes. Feel bad about yeah. Donald Trump's murder.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny how many... those things go in waves where it'll be like people going, yeah, fuck yeah. And then other people going, hey, that is not right. We've overdone it. And then think pieces about the think pieces going.
Mm.
Look, I think we... I'm just going off how Star Wars was received anyway last year. People loved it. And then they were like, I think you jumped to the conclusion that it was a great Star Wars movie too early. On reflection, here's what's wrong with it. And then other people going, I think you're being a bit harsh on it. You're trying to be the...
Then there'd be a think piece comparing why Donald Trump's murder is similar to Star Wars The Force Awakens.
That would be a BuzzFeed one, piece. I think.
Yeah. Here are the 5 reasons.
Yeah.
He was eventually found. There was a shootout.
Oh.
And... even though he was told that the instruction was to get him alive, he got killed. The guy killed him, said he was a really religious guy, said, God told me to. He's like, you weren't meant to kill him. Like, God told me to kill him.
And God overrides the chief of police.
I'm pretty sure he does.
So that's why I made my decision. If you want to speak to God, please feel free.
Do you want me to put him on?
I should probably say the name of the guy killed him. It was...
God.
Union Sergeant Jesus H. Christ, a.k.a. Boston Corbett. He shot him through the neck.
Oh.
Booth survived.
God told me to shoot him through the neck.
Booth survived for quite a few hours, but he died much later. Kind of painful death, I guess, you know. Medicine wasn't great then.
As God would have wanted medicine to not be great back then.
Yeah.
I think it...
Otherwise he would have made it great.
Yeah. Guys, checks out.
So there was a massive investigation that went into it. Took Harold into custody. The guy, you know, the guy ran off. Mm-hmm. Arrested.
The guy that pooed himself.
Palpain. Yep. Asterod, the guy
who just did nothing.
Pretty much, it got everyone who was involved from the start. They saw it all as being one thing. The initial attempt to kidnap, all the way to the murder. That was all one plot, as it was seen. Mary Surratt, who owned the...
Oh, yeah, the hotel where they had a meeting. Did she get in trouble?
Yeah, Dr. Samuel Mudd, Samuel Arnold, Michael O'Loughlin, and Edmund Spangler. Edmund Spangler, the guy who goes, I'm working on the play, I need someone else to grab the horse.
He got in trouble.
Yeah.
For giving him a one-eyed horse.
Yeah, well, because he knew...
He didn't give him the one-eyed horse. He was supposed to hold the horse.
Oh, sorry.
He also saw Booth earlier that night. He was seen... At first, they thought it was all an inside job. The actors in the play that night were under suspicion and held
as
suspects. Oh, wow.
But Spengler, so the guy who said, "I can't hold your horse, I've got to do a job."
Yes, he was...
Did he get in trouble?
He was arrested and found guilty.
Oh, my God.
He was later pardoned by the next president, but he already spent time in jail.
Oh, wow.
What about Peanut?
Peanut,
yeah, nothing with Peanut.
He actually held the fucking horse.
Oh, that's so weird.
But who else is going to give out peanuts at the Ford Theatre?
But it's like if we were here, where a lot of comedians, so our colleagues are around, and if someone was like, "Hey, can you just hold the door open for me?
Yeah, you just fully trust
them. I've got to carry something." Yeah, man, no worries.
But you know how that would look at the same time? It would be like, was this planned? You were organised to do that? And you'd be like, "No, I had fucking no idea.
I just happened to be here."
To be fair, if Andy Matthews said, "Can you hold my horse?" I'd have some questions.
Yeah, but I wouldn't assume he'd basically go kill someone.
I got to run in. Hey, do you mind parking the car?
Yeah.
And keeping the motor running. That is a bit sus.
I'm about to take off very quickly.
And then he's holding a gun.
Yeah, that would cause suspicion.
So all eight of those were arrested and found guilty.
Whoa.
To varying degrees. People who were involved on the day of the assassination were sentenced to death.
Even the guy that pooed himself.
Yep, even the guy pooed himself.
What about the guy that didn't follow through?
Including Mary Surratt. Who
just had a pub.
And she also passed on a message as well.
All right, I thought she just gave him a function room.
No, she
can have it.
On the day, she did pass on a message, but some say it was coded and she might not have known exactly what was going on. There were protests the whole way through. I don't think a woman had ever been capital punished before.
Wow.
In America. And people were like, "This isn't how it should go." The ones that were hanged, on the day, people were still protesting. Other guys, like Payne, was going, she had nothing to do with it. Leave her out. Don't kill her. And society was kind of even like going, this is a bit much.
Wow.
And right up to the day, people were thinking that she was going to get a stay of execution. But she didn't. It was the weird thing. Apparently, back at the time, you know, there was lots of sun umbrellas. That was a classic thing. They were holding up a sun umbrella for her. She had the hood on her head so she wouldn't get sunstroke, you know, because that was just so weird.
That's so odd.
So weird.
She can't get sunburned.
She might get a bit hot before we snap her neck.
There was a ninth conspirator who was never arrested or wasn't arrested at the time. Her son, actually, John Surratt, the younger guy, was definitely more involved. He got away, fled to Canada. Then he got a ship to England and ended up working in the Vatican or in Rome.
He became the Pope.
Yeah, John Paul II. Now he, but he did. He worked in in the Pope's guard or whatever.
Wow.
I think I read that.
What, the Swiss guard?
Something like that. Fuck.
Wow.
Yeah, the military unit that protected the Pope, whatever those guys are called.
Yeah, the Swiss Guard.
And they have colourful suits.
And apparently, funnily enough, the Surratt family were big in the Catholic world, which is like, obviously, there was like something that Booth wasn't into them Catholics, but it meant that he got away for quite a while.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Didn't get the pardon from the Pope.
In the meantime, all eight went on trial. Some were put to death.
Including Mary.
Whoa.
All the ones who were involved on the day, they were all put to death.
That's mental.
But the others who were sort of involved in smaller ways, in the aiding and abetting or the stuff before, were sent to jail for different amounts of time. And also the horse guy. So he was involved on the day, but not part of the plan. Yeah. He was sentenced to jail.
And Peanut John.
Peanut John was fine.
Peanut John was fine, yeah.
Thank God.
That's mental.
So the ones that were sentenced to prison were Mudd, the doctor, O'Loughlin, Arnold and Edmund Spengler, the horse holder.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't even hold the fucking horse.
He didn't. He got Peanut John to
do it. He had to build the stage.
The one that got away, John Surratt, avoided capture for a while in Rome, but someone recognised him eventually. He was arrested, but apparently he escaped for a while, got to Egypt, was found again and eventually sent back, extradited back to the US. And tried for the same stuff as his mum, the stuff that his mum was found guilty of. But this was a few years later. So it wasn't exact same trial. You know, a little bit of time had passed. And the civil trial resulted in a hung jury, so he went free.
They hung the jury.
And he lived till 1916.
Wow. Wow. That's in Matt's time.
Yeah, well, that's the century we were all alive. Yes. So he lived.
Yeah, and that's somewhat... Sorry, that was pretty scattered at the end. I got a bit excited and I went off script a lot. But
no, but it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's like I didn't realize all that stuff in it. It is an interesting story, and I kind of wish that I was sitting here listening to Dave tell it. But
I wish that
because he wouldn't have got so excited. He would have done it by the book.
Hold your cool.
He would have held his cool, but I just got flustered there. If I had a single bullet gun, I would have shot it in the air and gone, "I'm coming for you." Fuck.
Let me reload it. Give me 15 minutes.
Sorry, everybody. Got that big stick out.
Yeah, that's right.
It was one of those really ornate looking guns as well.
Mm.
Something you'd expect a pirate that his dad was a lover of to have carried around. Lover. Yeah,
he does sound like a pretty bad guy.
Definitely a pretty guy, and also yes, a very bad guy. It was so weird. I had no idea. I knew it was just that I thought he was a political. Back in that time, people were like seemingly they hated Lincoln, but in a lot of ways, Lincoln was a hero. After that, he was more universally loved.
So that's part of the legend.
I think it definitely did help. And I mean, now I think most people would argue that Lincoln was on the right track with slavery.
Oh, totally,
abolition.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Jess is hung on the jury, but.
So it's just funny, like, as time goes on, you're like, oh, that guy. And it's just amazing. There was a whole side of America who were like, nah, slavery, this is great. And the other half's like, what the fuck? America's all about freedom.
Whoa, what the fuck?
This is the opposite of. The things we say is freedom and everyone.
No. It's equal. Freedom for us. We're equal.
They're not.
Some of us are more equal than others, as Animal Farm said.
So strange. Yes. Anyway, so that was. Did I say that at the start? Obviously, that was the topic as voted by our
that was
Patreon
the topic.
Supporters, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I did.
You got so excited. You just talked for an hour about it. Who suggested it? Do we know?
Yes, we do know. He's actually a patron himself, and he had another topic of Helen Keller, John Titus.
John Titus.
Well done, John.
Titus, we're never sure.
I thought it was John Titus, that disease we love to have.
The disease we love to John.
John Titus. What have you got? It's John Titus.
John Titus. You lucky bastard.
It's okay, I've got antibiotics. Give me a kiss, I'll give you some John Titus.
Give me some.
I won't tell you what the other topics were, but it beat them by quite a lot. It got over half the vote.
Cool.
Well,
good suggestion, John Titus.
As we are now very well aware of, listeners love the Killers.
They love them.
We should do a topic on Las Vegas band The Killers sometime.
They would love that.
Please don't wink at me ever again.
How was it, Dave? Are you cross-eyed?
Please don't
Nothing
wink,
wrong with that.
Please don't wink
Dave
at Dave
ever
again.
If you're going to wink, you wink at both of us with different eyes at the same time.
Please blink at us.
Matt, do it. Blink at us. Thank you. He had to think about that too, which is funny.
He's a good blinker.
Yeah, no, that's the kind of thing you shouldn't have to think about.
But you did. You thought about it and you twitched a bit.
Hey, speaking of patrons,
yeah.
At the end of each episode, we love to thank some of our fave
aurits. We've got to thank some fave aurits.
Including John Titus.
So yeah, Dave, do you have a Patreon?
Patreon?
Well, I've got someone to thank, but just off topic. If I ever had a son, I've got two names ready to go. It's 50-50 at this stage whether I'll call my son Daniel or whether I'll call my son Ryan. But a man that has already combined the two best names on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Who is it?
None other than Daniel Ryan. Oh. Thanks, Dan Ryan.
I really like Dan Ryan. Daniel Ryan.
Daniel Ryan.
He gets onto us a bit. What a bloody... good guy.
Thanks, Daniel.
Great guy.
I'm going to name my child after you. Both my children. I have twin boys. One's Daniel, one's Ryan.
Oh, that's nice.
It's funny you said that because there are four names that I would give my son if I ever had a son. Brad, Lee, Ma, and Honey. And coincidentally, funnily enough, the guy I would like to thank, a real bloody champ, a guy that only knows winning. I'm going to actually say the word for the first time he's ever heard it. Losing. This guy doesn't know the meaning of it. It means to not win, mate. All right? He's not like he's very good at winning, not great at vocab. But super good guy and a winner in the world and in my heart, Mr. Bradley Mahoney.
Are you sure it's Mahoney and not like Marnie?
I'm not sure of that, but
just saying. But Bradley.
Knowing my history.
It's probably Marnie.
It's almost definitely Marnie.
You'll have to change two of your son's names.
Nah, Mahoney.
Ma can stay, but Honey has got to be knee.
Just knee.
Mahoney. No, that was, I mean, that's just a coincidence, Dave. I'm not.
Yeah, he was just talking, because you guys were talking about naming your kids. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to definitely name mine after Daniel Ryan, so I respect him even more.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking just the other day, when I have children, which I've frequently said on this podcast I don't want to do, but when I do, I would definitely, I think, top 10, somewhere in my top 10 favourite names would obviously be Connor. I just think because
somewhere in the top 10.
Somewhere in the top 10.
Okay.
Because of,
I like that name,
Terminator. You know?
Yeah.
So
that's good enough for me.
And coincidentally, actually, somebody that I would like to thank, just, you know, just a little side note there about naming kids, but coincidentally, it's funny that I mentioned that, because the person that I want to thank for supporting our show is none other than Connor Saunders, who we've actually met, Matt.
I had pleasant time with Connor.
Connor's the best. We met Connor and his brother Josh in Ballarat, and they're going to be coming to one of our live shows when we do them for Comedy Festival, and they're just delightful humans, and thank you very much, Connor.
Thanks so much, thank Connor. You, Connor. Thank you, all of you.
Hmm.
Every last one.
All of yous.
It is nice to thank these legends. And sorry for everyone who finds that tedious. No one. I'm not sorry. Because no one finds that tedious. Well,
but speaking of...
We're apologising to no one.
Speaking of that's tedious information...
It's weird to apologise to no one.
We should also probably just mention how they can get in contact with us.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you can get... Well, if you want us to contact you by reading out your name, of course, Patreon is the way to go. Patreon.com/dogoonpod. Get the bonus stuff. Get the bonus episodes. That kind of stuff. Of course, you can email us, dogoonpod@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, @dogoonpod. It is always great to hear from you. You can suggest topics. The hat is growing every single week. But hey, you got to be in it to win it.
Got to be.
Got to be in it.
And I'll get, if I haven't done it already, I probably will get a new vote up soon. And that's pretty much everyone. I think is it $2 and above on Patreon? You get to vote in the topic, my topic thingamajig.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Get involved. Be part of the change you want to see.
And one last thing, if you don't mind me bringing up. If you don't mind, do you mind?
I mind.
Devin Bruns tweeted at us last week four, letting us know that he created a Do Go On subreddit.
I don't fully understand
Reddit, but I love the idea of this. Yeah. I know that Reddit is like the real internet, where real internet people go.
Sure, yep.
It's the kind of place I want to understand, and I'm going to try and figure it out. But I think it's a place where basically he's put it together. It's reddit.com/r/dogoonpod.
Great.
And I think it's just going to be a place to just chat about topics, probably mention things we've fucked up, also things we got very right.
Yeah, but there'll probably be more things we fucked up than
which
things
is fun.
Here is a list of things they got right.
It's a short list.
But yeah, if you're in a Reddit, that'd be really cool to go there, hang out. I don't know how that all works exactly, but
we can contribute it ourselves. We can go in there and answer questions, that kind of stuff, if you want us to.
Yeah, sweet. Oh, I guess let
cool.
us know.
Just Devin make more work for us, Dave. Fuck.
Well, he said we, meaning him and...
Yeah, great.
Him and him alone.
Yeah,
him
sweet. Alone. Done.
I've got to find a computer first. Where the bloody hell are they?
But until then, I'm going to go jump in a pool because I'm so fucking hot.
So hot.
Hey, Dave, can I come to you? My best friend. All right. Thanks for everyone having us. Later.
It's only a one-man pool. It's a bath.
Bye.
I reckon we can squeeze this.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.